Today's devotion is titled The Mission of Jonah. The story of Jonah and the big fish takes me back to my Sunday school days. The story is about God asking Jonah to visit the city of Nineveh, a very sinful city, to warn them if they did not change their ways and turn to follow him, he would bring judgment on the city. Jonah became scared and decided to board a boat and sail in the opposite direction. But God was watching. So God caused a great storm to rise on the sea. Once the crew knew Jonah was disobeying God, and Jonah was turfed out of the boat. Then God allowed a large fish to swallow him up, and after 3 days, after Jonah pleaded with God, he was spewed back onto the dry seashore. Jonah then obeyed God and went to Nineveh, and much to Jonah's surprise, the people heeded God's call to repent and turn back to him. So the great city of Nineveh was saved. I was given a little quotation about Jonah which reads, "He paid to get in, but he got out for nothing. He got in for nothing, but he paid to get out." What does it mean, he paid to get in? When he tried to run from God, he paid his fare to get into a boat to escape in another direction to which God asked him to go. And the next line reads, "But got out for nothing." That means he was thrown out of the boat that cost him nothing. Next, we read, "He got in for nothing. The big fish swallowed him up. He found himself in the fish's belly, but it cost him nothing to get there." The last line reads, "But he paid to get out." Yes, he had to come to realize he was running away from God, so he paid by praying and crying out to God. God heard him, and Jonah agreed to carry out the task God had set for him. Today, as I again read this story of Noah, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I can see so many lessons in this story. We read when Jonah was in the ship with a storm raging, the crew, realizing he was the one who caused the storm, asked him who he was. We read in Jonah 1:9 how Jonah answered, "I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Jonah was a godly man. He had been asked by God to go to Nineveh to warn them of punishment if they did not turn back to God. But Jonah disobeyed. We can meet Christians who are living their everyday lives. For them, being a Christian is just a nameplate. Yet they seem to get along with life very nicely. God does not seem to intervene. Yet, as we see with Jonah, he was walking faithfully with his God. But because he failed to obey God when it came to serving him, God was unhappy. When we who are faithfully following him get cold feet or decide to do things our own way or are distracted by this world's guidelines, we will find ourselves getting into a compounding and compromising mess. Jonah, by obeying God, refusing to do what God asked him to do, would affect many people. Many lives would be destroyed. When Jonah disobeyed God, God needed to find a way of getting Jonah's attention and turn Jonah's life around. He wanted Jonah to rebuild his trust with God, to give him another chance to do what he asked him to do, at whatever the cost. We read in the first chapter of Jonah, verse 2, Jonah ran away. God asked him to go to Nineveh, which is northeast of Cana or Israel, as we know it today. But instead he got into a ship at Joppa, which is south of Cana, and headed to Tarshish. Nineveh is about 550 miles northeast from Joppa, but Jonah decided to escape to go get into a boat and sail to Tarshish. Jonah was serious about getting away as far as possible to avoid going to Nineveh, because Tarshish is 2,500 miles or 4,000 kilometers in the opposite direction at the extreme west end of the Mediterranean Sea, where it opens into the Atlantic Ocean just beyond Gibraltar. not to be confused with Tarsus, a seaport in Sicily, in southern Turkey, where the Apostle Paul came from. We read in 1 Corinthians 12 that each one of us are given gifts by God for building up the church and the expansion of God's kingdom. God gave Jonah a gift. God knew the potential in Jonah. Jonah had the ability and stamina. He was God's man for the job, but Jonah was not exercising his faith and trust in God. All of us have at least one gift given by God. Have we found our gift in? Do we recognize the gift or gifts God has given us? And if we know our gifts, are we being bold enough to go forwards under his direction and exercise those gifts? In order to know and use our gifts, we need to hear and obey God's voice. But first, we need to recognize his voice. Have we discovered God's voice, like Samuel, who physically heard it? It can come through reading the Bible, through changing circumstances, through dreams. Or it may be a practical gift which may develop through our everyday activities. But for each one of us, we have to discover for ourselves the way to hear God's voice. It will be in a unique way only you and God understands. The subject of hearing God's voice I have given separately under the title Guidance and Hearing God's Voice. We read in Hebrews 11:7-10, which we call the faith chapter, all those prophets of old, they obeyed and responded to God's voice. But Jonah lost his nerve. One very great example of a man who obeyed God's voice was Joshua. Joshua had been following Moses for many years, observing and learning from Moses how to obey God. And then Moses died. Following Moses' death, Joshua heard God call him and tell him he was now responsible to lead this 1 million or so people into the land God had promised them. But God as a father gave him encouragement and support all the way. In the very first chapter of Joshua, Joshua 1 verses 7, 9 and 18, God reassures Joshua 3 times by saying, "Be strong and of good courage." Notice God said, "Be strong and of good courage." Surely these two words were similar. Why repeat the comment? We can be strong-minded, full of pretense and confidence, but it takes a lot more than being strong to carry out a task. We need courage to do the task God had set for us. But God reassures Joshua, he will be with him to see the job through. By trusting God, knowing it was his idea in the first place, and then knowing the giftings and service God has for you, you can be confident he will guide and support you all the way. Remember, God is still there when we try to run away. When Jonah decided to run away, Joseph in his mind thought no one would know what he was doing or where he was going, but God did. And he knew how to get Jonah back on track, as well as rescuing the lives of the people of Nineveh. Next, we read in Jonah 1:4, "Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship." There is a lesson here, because Jonah effectively was allowing men who were alien to follow God to control his journey and destination. He had now lost any form of control over the situation. He was unable to talk about his God with any kind of authority. The Bible states we should not be yoked to unbelievers. In 2 Corinthians 6:14 we read, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? or what fellowship can light have with darkness? The ship's crew started to throw the cargo over the side of the boat to lighten it, but that would not have calmed the sea. Often we see folk who try in their own strength to be Christ-like by not doing what non-Christian folk are doing. They effectively are trying to cast off the image of non-Christians. They try through outward manifestations only, but they have not experienced an inward change. Jonah 1:5 continues, but Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Jonah was asleep, unconcerned, unaware he was the cause of the storm, but not for long. We continue to read in verse 7. Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What shall we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," replied, "and it will become calm. I knew that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Jonah was the problem down inside the boat. He had to be thrown overboard before the storm ceased. Sometimes we might find ourselves taking a wrong path, making a wrong decision, being disobedient, not exercising the gifts God has given us. May take a storm which has been caused through our misdeeds or a tragic situation in our life to awaken us, and then to ask ourselves, "Why is this happening to me?" The only way for us to get out of the situation is to get back in favour with God, to turn ourselves around, or to get rid of that which is hindering us. Note, people are watching us. The crew of this ship were religious because the captain ordered the men to pray to their gods, but when they knew Jonah was a Hebrew and a follower of the true God, we read in verse 10, this terrified them, and they asked, "What have we done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he'd already told them. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What shall we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that a great storm has come upon you." They thought that Jonah had all the answers through his God, but did not realize he was the problem, simply because he was disobedient to God. What a difficult place Jonah found himself in. He knew he was in the wrong. He could not defend himself as a godly man. He had compromised. Whatever he said, they may not have trusted him, knowing he was trying to run away from God. Here we see Jonah acting on the first principle to restoration. We have to acknowledge what we have done and ask a way back to God. Repent, and then to obey him. In verse 13 we read, instead the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. I find these verses so inspiring and encouraging. The sailors did not want to throw Jonah overboard, which would have solved the problem, but decided to continue in their own strength. Then we read that the storm grew greater till the men realized who was really in charge of the situation. It was God himself. Verse 14 reads, "Then they cried out to the Lord." They realized that the God who Jonah served was the true God, and they turned to him. Despite Jonah disobeying God and causing such a situation to occur, out of bad came good. Every situation and difficulty we experience in life as a Christian, when we are walking with God, is never wasted. We will meet folk along life's journey who are going through the same difficulties you went through. But now you can tell them all about the situation and how God helped you through. God did not turn his back on these men. We read in Acts 22, verse 21, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." We have a mighty, loving, sovereign God who wishes for no one to perish, as Jesus said in Matthew 18, 13 to 15. When speaking about himself as a good shepherd. Jonah was one of his sheep who had gone astray, he said, "And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that didn't wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish." Remember, there are times when we can fall away from God or have been disobedient after the experience. In God's sovereign purposes, it can become an awakening and in turn become a blessing to fellow Christians or non-Christians in how we live after the experience. Remember, Peter denied his Lord twice, but Jesus forgave him. Peter became a mighty and strong defender of the faith afterwards. So let's read these verses again in the book of Jonah 1:14. They cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea calmed. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Can you imagine what the atmosphere would be like on that final leg of the journey, with the crew having turned to follow God? Remember, the crew could easily be made up of Israelites who had been following foreign gods, but now, for the first time, discovered the true God, as we read in verse 16. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. If Jonah had not tried to run away, maybe these men would have never had the chance to meet God. Remember, God shows a way out. We have a second chance. In the last verse of chapter 1 we read, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." In the second chapter we read in verse 5, "Seaweed was wrapped around my head." We cannot imagine the bitter tastes and the foul smells that Jonah endured for 3 whole days while in the belly of the fish. He had time to reflect. But then we read in verse 1 of the second chapter, "From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God." We can rest assured when we sin, God will show us a way of escape, enabling us to turn back to him. Jonah found the secret place, and it was not by choice. Jesus spoke about Jonah in Matthew 12, verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. What was Jesus saying in this verse? Just like Jonah, who spent 3 days in the belly of the fish, Jesus was illustrating that he would suffer on a cross and spend 3 days in a sepulchre. Why did Jesus die and spend 3 days in a tomb before rising again? It was for us. He paid the price we should pay for all the sins we have and will do. But we have to acknowledge that we have sinned. We have to be like Jonah, come to a place of asking God's forgiveness. And God will forgive us and make us one of his children to receive new life, which is eternal. What a testimony Jonah was able to tell those living in Nineveh. He could describe what it cost him to come and how God was so gracious in saving him, giving him a second chance. It would also be a great challenge for the wayward people of Nineveh, a great illustration to show how what God heard, to show how when God hears the cries of the boat crew, how God heard them and the crew could turn back to him. Sometimes we can experience a difficult time when we have called on the Lord for help. It is often in those times when we get to know God better and our relationship with him becomes deeper. We may have a testimony similar to Jonah to tell. We should not hold back to share what God has done in our lives. It is very powerful. For when we tell folk of our experiences under the influence of the Holy Spirit, it has conviction and power and can be a great form of encouragement to those who find themselves suffering in a similar situation. I have often been asked, what do I say when I get the opportunity to tell folk I'm a Christian? Just share with them your experience of how you became a Christian and how it has changed your life. I am sure Jonah would have been ready to tell them all about how he disobeyed God and what trouble it caused him and the men on the ship. But he could also tell them about God's unique plan to save him, to give him a plan and a future, as God reassures the Israelites in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. The word of your testimony is so powerful. Testimony is very powerful in illustrating God's wonderful love, power and mercy. Jonah's experience was a great platform to tell of Jesus, to illustrate his word of salvation, his work of salvation. So we see what Jesus meant in Matthew 12:40. Just as Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the fish, so Jesus, after his death on the cross, spent 3 days in the tomb to pay for our rescue of eternal salvation. While Jonah was recovering on the seashore, we read in the next chapter, Jonah 3:1-5. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to that great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Something I have learned over my Christian life is that God is a God of second and third chances. What I mean is that he is a long-suffering God, as we read in Psalm 86, verse 15. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. God forgave Jonah. Jonah agreed to go to Nineveh, and the people turned back to God. In Jonah 4:1-3 we read, But to Jonah this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home, That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. Why was Jonah so angry? Did Jonah expect things to happen without him going to Nineveh? Did he expect God to relent and not punish the city? This situation reminds me of Elijah, just after he had slain the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18. He went and hid in a cave, fearing the retribution of King Ahab's wife Jezebel. I've experienced the same situation as Jonah and Elijah experienced. From a human standpoint, both Jonah and Elijah had just completed a great mission, which had sapped all their physical, mental and spiritual energy. They both would be very tired and exhausted. But God came to them both and sustained them. In Isaiah 40:29-31 we read, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. David describes in Psalm 23:1-2 how God gently and graciously restores us. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. In closing, let me bring a more up-to-date story to you about God's mercy to a nation by telling you about a young Englishman named Patrick who lived in England back in around 400 AD. Around 390 AD, Patrick was born in England into a Christian family. His father was a church deacon and his grandfather was a priest. At the age of 16, he was captured and taken over on a slave ship to Ireland, living as a shepherd boy. The work of such slave shepherds was bitterly isolated, months at a time spent alone in the hills. At that time, he was far away from God. He would call himself an atheist, one who did not believe there was a God. He thought he was like the prodigal son. He felt as though God had deliberately allowed this to happen as a punishment for not believing there was a God. So he turned back to God and spent much time in prayer and fasting. Then one night he had a dream. He heard God say to him, You are going to go back to your own country. Your ship is ready. Patrick escaped and travelled 300 kilometres across Ireland. He found a ship sailing to England, but they refused to allow him on board. Then, remembering the vivid dream he had, he cried to the Lord and eventually was allowed on board. Back home in England, he felt a strong call to train as a minister. Then sometime later he had another dream. In the dream, an Irishman came to him with a pile of letters, and as he opened the letters, he sensed the letters were all saying, Holy boy, please return to us, to Ireland. We need you. This developed into a strong desire to return back to pagan Ireland as a missionary. Agonizing over it, he returned to Ireland. Confronting the chieftains of the time who worshipped the sky, earth and water, the Irish of the 5th century were a pagan, violent and barbaric people. Human sacrifice was commonplace. Patrick understood the dangers and wrote, I am ready to be murdered, betrayed, enslaved. Whatever may come my way. God honoured his obedience. And as a result, 129,000 people became Christians and were baptised. He also performed many miracles. In 432 AD, he built the first church with another 300 churches to follow. It is thought that St. Patrick picked the leaf of a small plant called the shamrock or clover, which had three leaves, which he used to illustrate the Trinity. In turn, the shamrock became a symbol of or emblem of Ireland. Let's listen to St. Patrick's poem of faith and trust in God, which is titled The Breastplate. Christ be within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath, Christ above, Christ in quarred, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. What lessons can we learn from Jonah? Jonah was a godly man. He knew what God spoke to him, but he lost his nerve when God asked him to preach to the folk of Nineveh. But thankfully, God is a God of second and third chances. Are we strong enough and willing enough when God prompts us to do his bidding? It may be a kindly gesture or saying a word about the Lord to one who is seeking him. You may feel you have let the Lord down. Take it to the Lord, ask his forgiveness. He will help you back on your feet and help you to do the task he has asked you to do. I can reassure you that when you discover the gift he has given you and do as God asked you to do, you will have a deep joy inside, a reassurance in knowing what you have and are doing is a God-given desire and gift which can only come from God himself. The words of a well-known hymn fits this emotion so well, which reads, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." May God richly bless you in your service for him. Amen.